Today's topic is titled, So Close, Yet So Far Away. But before we begin our study, let us pray as we ask God's direction opening His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Sabbath day that You have given to us.
Señor, en esta oportunidad,
in this opportunity today, Lord,
vamos, Señor, a estudiar tu palabra.
We come to open and study Your Word.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a entender con claridad.
We pray that You would help us to understand with clarity.
Lo que tú deseas que nosotros aprendamos en esta mañana.
That which You desire that we would understand this morning.
Abre nuestro corazón.
Please open our hearts. Lord, that we might guard and keep this message. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Al preparar.
In preparing our message this morning,
pensaba en dos frases muy importantes.
I was thinking about two specific phrases or sentences, very important ones.
Tan cerca.
Very close.
Significa estar cerca de algo.
The words very close mean that we have come in proximity to something, almost right to it.
Y el otro es tan lejos.
And the other phrase that has been on my mind is very far.
Tan cerca.
So close.
Y tan lejos.
Yet very far.
Son dos palabras.
These are two phrases, two words.
Que nos dicen la oposición de una y de la otra.
That are in opposition one with another.
Pero esta frase tan cerca y tan lejos.
But this title, this sentence, so close yet so far away.
Es para no entenderla porque estoy cerca pero estoy lejos. ¿De dónde?
Is somewhat of a paradox because it says that we have come right to the very in proximity, right to the very borders of something, and yet at the same time we are very far away from it. How do we understand that?
Pero hoy vamos a entender qué significa estas. Tan cerca y a la vez tan lejos.
And today from God's Word, we will hopefully understand what it means to be so close and yet so far away.
Muchos deportistas.
There's a lot of athletes.
Deportistas del mundo.
Athletes from around the world.
Se preparan para las Olimpiadas.
Who prepare themselves with training for the Olympics.
En su mente está, quiero ir a las Olimpiadas.
Their objective in mind is that they want to be selected to make it to represent their country at the Olympics.
Necesito participar y necesito llevar mi medalla de oro.
They want to participate and their ultimate objective and goal is to come away from those Olympics wearing a gold medal.
Y ellos se preparan para representar a su país y llevar esa medalla.
And these athletes, they take time. They prepare diligently to go to the Olympics to represent their nation and to do all they can to win the medal.
Y trabajan día tras día, meses en meses, años en años.
And they work at it, day after day, month after month, year after year in preparation.
No es fácil.
It's not easy.
Pero ellos, su meta es el objetivo de ir a las Olimpiadas y ganar la medalla.
But what keeps them in their routine of training, what keeps them on their pathway, is the objective they have before them of making it to the Olympic Games and standing on a podium wearing that medal.
Pero cuando están en las Olimpiadas,
but there, when they get there, when they're participating in the Olympics,
solamente uno se lleva la medalla de oro.
There will only be one who walks away with a gold medal.
En ninguna olimpiada he visto que hay dos personas que ganan la medalla de oro.
I have never seen an Olympic Games in which multiple people all won gold medals.
No, no hay.
It doesn't generally take place. One person walks away with the gold.
Y hay muchos que han trabajado tanto para ganar esa medalla y simplemente no la llevan esa medalla.
And yet there in that contest, in that course of participation, there are a variety of people from all countries of the world who are striving for the same goal. They are working, they're struggling, they're painstakingly giving the effort, and yet only one wins gold.
Y hay personas, hay deportistas que están cerca para ganar la medalla de oro.
And there in some of those races, in some of those games, there are some athletes who are right there on the very edges of the finish line and yet do not win gold.
Qué frustración, ¿no es verdad?
What an amazing frustration it must be to recognize that you had come so close and yet didn't win.
Me he preparado años, meses, y no he llevado la medalla de oro.
I have prepared for months, some for years, and I did not take away the medal of my objective.
¿Te imaginas eso, vivirlo? Es frustrante.
You can imagine that to live that experience would be a great frustration.
Hay muchos que lloran.
There's many who weep after the contest.
Porque dan todo de sí because y no logran.
Because they have given everything to accomplish the goal and they do not win.
En Primera de Corintios,
in the Bible's book of 1 Corinthians,
Pablo nos habla.
The Apostle Paul speaks to us.
Habla acerca de esta carrera.
And he speaks to us about the race in which we are involved.
Y nos dice,
and he says to us in 1 Corinthians
chapter 9, verse 24.
1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. The Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain."
Pablo nos exhorta a correr esa carrera.
The Apostle Paul exhorts us that we should run our lives as if they are a race to win.
En la Biblia nosotros encontramos muchas historias de personajes que corren esta carrera.
In the Bible we have example after example, many, many examples of individuals who have given their lives, who are running this race that Paul speaks about.
Yo tomé solo dos personajes en esta mañana.
This morning I want us to take a look at two of those stories, of those people who have run a race.
Personas que corrieron.
People who ran.
Que estuvieron tan cerca.
People who came right to the very edges and were so close.
Pero a la vez estuvieron tan lejos.
And amazingly, were yet so very far away from the objective.
Busquemos en nuestra Biblia el libro de Génesis.
I invite you to take your Bible to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis.
Chapter 19.
Genesis 19.
Chapter 19 and verse 22.
Genesis 19, we're 12. Going to begin in verse 12.
Hasta el 26.
Reading now Genesis chapter 19, we'll begin in verse 12. The Bible says, in the context of the story of Lot and the angels coming to visit Lot in the city of Sodom. The Bible says, verse 12, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to them, and they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou at in the plain. Neither stay thou all in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said to them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul will live. And he said to him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city because For the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
Lot era el sobrino de Abraham.
Lot was Abraham's nephew.
Lot siempre había vivido con su tío Abraham.
Lot, for many years, had lived with Abraham in his journey.
Pero Lot, siendo que su tío Abraham era un buen cristiano, but, seguía los pasos de Dios, Lot estaba pensando en diferentes cosas.
Lot, even though his uncle Abraham was a godly man and was one who followed after the ways and the commandments of God, Lot himself did not have the same determinations and wandered after a variety of other things.
Lot decidió vivir en un lugar donde no era cristiano.
Lot made a decision to go and to live in a place that had influences that would not help a Christian life.
Y ni bien llegó a ese lugar, se acomodó muy bien, se adaptó a esas costumbres raras paganas de ese lugar.
And Lot, after he and his family moved into the plain of Sodom, at some point he became acclimatized to the situation. He became accustomed to the pagan influences that were all around him in that place.
Y se casó con una mujer de ahí.
Lot married a wife.
Lot no entendía la gravedad de la situación de Sodoma y Gomorra.
Lot really didn't understand the situation that was present there in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Él no se daba cuenta cuán pecado había en esta ciudad. Él no se daba cuenta.
He didn't recognize the gravity of the situation, the depth and the profoundness of the sin that existed in that place.
Él estaba cómodo en ese lugar.
Lot had become comfortable with the influences of sin around him.
Abraham era la persona que intercedía por él ante Dios.
Abraham, his uncle, as we read in Scripture, was a man who interceded with God for the city of Sodom because of the presence of Lot and his family there.
Lot no tenía el valor para poner, decir, soy cristiano en esta casa y no puede haber cosas paganas en mi hogar. No tenía esa voluntad.
Lot didn't express himself. Lot didn't seem to manifest the will and the determination to stand up and to lead his home and say, I am a Christian and I am going to lead my home and reject the influences of this place. He didn't demonstrate that determination and that firmness.
Y la esposa de Lot fue la que metió cosas paganas a la vida de Lot.
And Lot's wife was a negative influence in his home. She was one who allowed and permitted the influences of the world to infiltrate into what should have been a God-fearing home to lead them further and further from truth.
Era una mujer egoísta y religiosa, una mujer que no tenía temor a Dios.
Lot's wife was a selfish woman. She was an irreligious woman, one who didn't demonstrate an influence to bring Lot closer to God, but rather one who would not have the fear of God and lead people away.
Y esas costumbres hizo que Lot se alejara mucho, mucho de Dios.
And it was because of these influences and the practices that were permitted in his home that Lot himself was finding that he was further and further from the ways of God.
Es por eso que cuando los ángeles visitaron a Lot,
it's because of this, when the angels came that night into the city of Sodom and visited with Lot,
la gente decía, ¿quiénes son esos hombres? ¿Por qué te visitan? No entendían la razón y Lot no sabía cómo explicarles quién eran estos ángeles.
The people of the city came looking for the angels and they wanted to know who these new visitors were, and Lot even himself didn't have the wherewithal to be able to explain to them that these were messengers from God.
No sabía porque ya todo el conocimiento de la palabra de Dios Lot se había olvidado.
Lot didn't have words to be able to stand and testify and stand to be true. The word of God, which had earlier in life been a primary part of his living, now was not in the same place of priority.
Pero los ángeles le decían, Lot,
but the angels,
saca tu familia.
The angels had to speak firmly and tell Lot, Lot, it's time. Take your family and go.
Pero Lot iba con paciencia. Lot iba lento.
But Lot was one who was procrastinating. Lot was one who was moving ever so slowly to actually leave the place of his residence in Sodom.
Porque tanto era el pecado en la vida de Lot que él no sentía. Sí, Dios va a destruir Sodoma y Gomorra. ¿Pero cuándo? No entendía que ya era pronto.
Lot's spiritual condition was weak enough that he didn't sense the urgency of the time. When the angels came and said, we are about to destroy this city and you need to escape with your family, Lot was as if he heard the message but didn't truly accept, didn't truly believe and hoped perhaps that by delay it could all be delayed.
Y cuando los ángeles apresuraban a Lot,
and when the angels pressured Lot and told him the urgency of the moment,
Lot todavía decidía, ¿dónde voy a ir? Yo quiero ir allá.
Lot said, listening to the message of the angels telling him to flee into the mountain, Lot tried to change the plan of God and say, I want to go to a different place than where you're actually sending me.
Y Dios accedió, ya, corre a esa montaña, pero sal de ahí.
In the mercy of God, wanting to save Lot's life and the lives of his family, God said, all right, if you want to go to that place, you can go there. Just get out of this place because it's going to be destroyed.
Y con su lentitud, Elena G. de White dice que Lot iba con una lentitud.
The spirit of prophecy speaks to us about how Lot moved with a slowness that was beyond consideration. Ever so slowly moving the way that God had told him to go.
Yo siento que los ángeles empujaban, ya, vamos, camina.
We see that the angels even had to push them and prod them along, taking them by the hand and pulling them out of the city.
Y los ángeles fueron muy directos en decir, no mires atrás, sigue adelante, corre, sigue.
The angel's message was very clear. Run, flee from this place, and as you go, do not look back at the city.
Y en ese plan que están corriendo,
and in this moment, in this time of fleeing, as they're even slowly making their way away from the city of Sodom toward the place that they were destined,
él siente que algo pasa.
Lot realized and felt that something had taken place.
Está corriendo con su familia.
He's fleeing with his family.
Y siente que su esposa voltea.
And he recognizes and realizes that his wife was no longer moving forward with them because she had turned around.
¿Y qué pasó con su esposa?
And what happened to his wife?
¿Qué pasó con su esposa?
What happened to his wife?
Se convirtió en una estatua de sal.
She became a pillar or a statue of salt there on the desert plain.
Ahí recién entendió la realidad Lot.
And in that moment, recognizing that his wife was now taken from him and she was gone forever, Lot came to realize the urgency of the moment after having suffered the loss.
Recién entendió, debo escapar. Recién entendió.
In that moment, as he realizes that now it's just he and his two daughters, he realizes that indeed I need to flee. Indeed, I need to get out of this place.
Qué pena de esta mujer.
Focusing on Lot's wife for a moment. What a pity this woman gives us.
Estaba escapando.
She was in the very process of escaping to salvation.
Estaba yendo con su esposo.
She was there with her husband.
Ya estaban cerca.
They were becoming close to the city of refuge, the place where they were going to be protected from the destruction of God on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Estuvo tan cerca.
She was so close.
Pero a la vez tan lejos.
And yet she was so far away.
Porque su pensamiento,
because her thoughts, her mind,
estaba en su casa, en su dinero, sus riquezas en Sodoma,
were focused on the house, the money, the possessions, the things that she was leaving behind in Sodom.
Qué triste.
What a sadness.
Que tan cerca pudo ser salva, pero fue,
that someone who was so close to being saved,
pero se perdió,
ended up being lost.
En Lucas 17,
In the book of Luke, chapter 17.
Lucas 17. Busquen en su Biblia.
Take
Lucas
your
17.
Bibles. Let's follow this text. Luke chapter 17.
Verse 28.
Luke 17, reading in verse 28 and following. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 28, the Bible says, "Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But at the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which is upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." And then powerful words. "Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life will lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it."
En la Biblia encontramos otra historia parecida a esta.
There's another story in the Bible in the New Testament that has a level of similarity with this story of Lot's wife.
Que estuvo tan cerca,
someone
que a la vez tan lejos.
So close and yet so far away.
Este personaje es Judas Iscariote.
This person is Judas Iscariot.
Judas era un hombre muy inteligente.
Judas was a very intelligent man.
Era un hombre con alta autoestima.
He was a man with a very high and confident self-esteem.
Un hombre que tenía mucho conocimiento.
A man who had an awful lot of knowledge and wisdom.
Judas había visto a Jesús predicando.
Judas had been one of those who had seen Jesus at the beginning of his ministry preaching throughout the land.
Y Judas observó a Jesús y dijo, voy a acercarme a él.
And Judas, as he saw Jesus teaching, healing, and preaching, said, I'm going to come and I'm going to draw close to this man.
Voy a seguirlo.
I want to follow this man.
Porque Judas sabía su personalidad, su carácter. Sabía, conocía cómo era él.
Judas understood a little bit about himself. He understood the type of man that he was. He understood the character traits that he had. And felt that by coming close to Jesus, there might be some help for him.
Él decía, si sigo a este hombre, tal vez mi forma de ser cambie.
He said, maybe if I come close to Jesus, if I listen to his teachings, if I walk and follow him, maybe there will be something that can change the way that I am.
Y Judas se unió al grupo de los 12 discípulos.
And Judas was brought into the group of 11 other disciples, making the complete 12.
Jesús conocía los pensamientos de Judas.
We're told that Jesus could read the thoughts of Judas's mind.
Y así lo aceptó.
And knowing the type of man that he was, Jesus still accepted Judas into the family of disciples.
Judas era bien respetado entre los discípulos.
Judas, because of his status in society, became one that was very well respected among the 12 disciples.
Porque recuerden que él sabía muchas cosas.
He knew an awful lot of things. He was an intelligent man. The disciples looked up to him.
Los demás discípulos eran pescadores, eran hombres rudos, pero Judas era un hombre inteligente que había estudiado muchas cosas.
Several of the other disciples, many of them in fact, were men of not great intellectual ability perhaps, not high education. Some of them were fishermen and others had other menial tasks, but Judas was an educated man. Judas was one that commanded the respect of the other disciples and they looked up to him in respect.
Era muy influyente entre los discípulos.
A man of influence in the group of 12.
Y los discípulos a veces consultaban cosas.
And we're told that as they made decisions from time to time, Judas was regularly brought into the consultations so that his intellect, his knowledge, his understanding of things and business could be considered as they move forward.
Es por eso que entre los 12 escogieron a Judas para que él administrara los el poco dinero que ellos recibían como donaciones.
You find that in the Desire of Ages we're instructed and told that the disciples themselves, the other 11, really wanted Judas in their number. They actually wanted him as an elected one among them to be the treasurer of the disciples' ministry, and he would be the one to carry the money and manage the business affairs of the disciple team.
Y Judas observaba todo lo que Jesús hacía.
And Judas watched day by day the things that Jesus would do.
Observaba los milagros.
He saw the miracles.
Observaba cómo transformaba vidas
Jesús.
He saw
lives being changed by Jesus.
Todo observaba Judas.
Judas saw it all.
Pero Judas pensaba que Jesús iba a ser el que iba a reinar.
But Judas was misunderstood in his belief that Jesus was going to be one to overthrow the Roman government and set up an earthly kingdom and reign.
No entendía el propósito de Jesús.
Judas, like the other disciples, didn't understand the full reason and objective of Jesus.
Y a veces Judas observaba y decía, ya me está desanimando lo que está diciendo Jesús. Me está desanimando.
Sometimes Judas, as he listened to Jesus, would think within himself, this is not in harmony with the plan that I envision. This is something that's actually causing me disappointment. As Jesus preaches this way, or as Jesus says this, I don't see it fitting with our plans.
Y es por eso que Judas deseaba un cargo oficial, deseaba algo de dinero, más dinero, estilo de vida diferente.
Judas had hoped for a high standard of living. He was one carrying the bag of money that had hoped that his position would enable him to have something else, something higher, something better than what he had had.
Y Jesús sabía que Judas robaba algo de dinero que recibían también los discípulos. Él los tomaba.
The Bible tells us that Judas, from time to time, dipped his own hand into the bag and used some of the funds that had been donated for the work of Jesus' ministry for his own selfish purposes. And furthermore, we understand that Jesus knew that.
Jesús sabía cómo era Judas.
Jesus knew what type of man Judas was.
Pero Jesús hacía todo lo posible para que el carácter, su forma de Judas sea transformada.
But in mercy, Jesus labored with Judas. Judas was there witnessing the miracles, the teaching, and Jesus wanted something to take place that would transform Judas's life, and for this he was permitted to stay so close to Jesus.
Pero Judas no permitió eso.
But Judas had built his own barriers. He didn't permit Jesus to accomplish a work of transformation in him.
Y él vendió a Jesús con como se ve el valor de un esclavo.
And later the Bible tells us at the end of the gospel stories that Judas was the one who sold Jesus and didn't sell him for a great price, but for the price of a slave.
Ya me desorienté.
Esclavo. Vendido por la punta de un esclavo.
Como un esclavo. Pero Judas, al entender que ya lo había vendido, él dijo.
Judas, realizing that he had sold Jesus and that Jesus wasn't going to do anything about it, said.
Ya lo vendí.
I've sold him.
Voy a recibir ese dinero.
I'm going to take this money.
Y todo va a estar bien.
And everything's going to be well.
Porque si él dice que es el Hijo de Dios, él se va a librar.
Because he says if this Jesus is really the Son of God and really wants to do a ministry that's going to benefit everyone around here, then even though I sell him, I get the money, but Jesus is going to save himself, and then we both come out on top.
Puede desaparecer,
maybe
puede
Jesus
hacer
will
otras cosas.
Do a disappearing act, and he'll vanish out of their grip, do something to free himself.
Pero fue así.
But it didn't work out that way.
Elena G. de White cuenta que Judas dice, observaba, ya, púrate, Jesús, desaparecete, escapa.
Spirit of Prophecy tells us in the writings of Ellen White that Judas waited for the opportunity, waited for the time when Jesus would manifest in some way, some ability, some miracle to escape from the grips of the soldiers.
Pero no pasaba.
But he didn't.
Y en ese momento Judas entendió que él había vendido a una persona inocente.
And recognizing that Jesus wasn't going to do anything to free himself, Judas came to the stark realization that he had sold an innocent person to death.
Pero él solo decía, he vendido a una persona inocente, pero todavía no se daba cuenta que era el Salvador. No se daba cuenta.
Judas came to the realization that he had sold an innocent man, but that's where it stayed. He recognized that he had sold a person. But something hadn't clicked for Judas. Something really wasn't fully understood. He didn't realize that he had sold the Son of God, the Savior of the world, into captivity.
Y es por eso que él, por la decisión que hizo, él se ahorcó.
For that reason and that sense of guilt, Judas went and hung himself and died.
Él no será salvo.
And Judas is not a saved man. He is a lost man.
¿De qué le sirvió estar tan cerca de Dios?
What did it benefit Judas to have walked 3 years and be so close in the presence of Jesus?
De nada.
It serves him nothing.
Miró los milagros de Jesús.
He saw the miracles of Jesus.
Miró cómo transformaba vidas.
He saw how lives were changed by the power of God.
Miró cómo sacaba demonios.
He realized that people were freed from captivity and slavery to demons.
Miró cómo daba alimentos a otros.
He saw how Jesus multiplied food and fed multitudes.
Miró cómo perdonó a otras personas.
He saw sinners receiving salvation and forgiveness.
Pero estaba tan cerca del Salvador.
And he himself was so close to the Savior.
Pero estaba tan lejos de él.
And yet by his decisions he ended up being so far away.
No entiendo.
I don't understand.
Viviendo con Jesús.
Living with Jesus.
Su mente estaba en el dinero. En otras cosas.
His mind was focused on other things. His mind was focused on the money.
No permitió que Dios entre a su corazón. No lo permitió.
He didn't permit Jesus to do anything in his own heart.
No lo permitió.
He didn't allow him to do anything.
Y no será salvo.
And he's lost.
Cuando Jesús venga, no veremos a Judas.
When Jesus comes again, we won't see Judas. He won't be there. So close.
En la Biblia encontramos una advertencia.
There's a warning given to us in Scripture, calling us really to decision.
Una advertencia que nos hace ver qué está pasando con nosotros.
It's a warning that calls us to take note and to recognize what's going on with us.
En Mateo 22:14.
It's Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. The Bible says, simple verse, for many are called, but few are chosen.
Es fuerte, ¿no?
It's pretty strong.
Varios estamos en la iglesia.
We're a number of us in the church today.
Pero solamente unos. Poquitos seremos escogidos.
Could it be that only few will be chosen?
Cuando pienso yo en esto,
when I stop to think about this,
yo digo, ¿seré yo?
I ask a question. Could it be me?
¿Estoy cerca de Dios?
Am I close to God?
¿O estoy lejos de él?
Or am I far from him?
Estoy en la iglesia verdadera.
I'm in the true church. I'm in a church that follows God.
Pero puede ser que mis pensamientos, mis acciones,
my mind, my heart, my actions,
estén lejos de él.
Are far from him.
La vida cristiana no es fácil.
The Christian life really isn't easy.
No lo es.
It's not easy.
Porque cuando estás yendo
Because
para Jesús,
as you're on your way to Jesus,
hay siempre cosas que se meten una tras otra y tras otra.
There's always something that ends up getting in the way, one obstacle after another after another.
Y hace que nosotros empecemos, ay, mañana estudio mi Biblia, no hoy día.
Something causes us to procrastinate. Something causes us to put off priorities, such as, because of this, I'll study my Bible tomorrow.
Y el momento que debo hacerlo,
and in the moment that I should be doing it,
escucho y hago otra cosa.
I hear and follow and do something else.
Muchas veces a mí me ha pasado.
Many times this has happened in my life.
Que cuando me levanto,
when I wake up,
me levanto y de frente me voy a la cocina.
And first thing, I go straight to the kitchen.
Y cuando ya estoy en la cocina,
when I'm there in the kitchen,
digo, tengo que orar, porque si algo me pasa,
I need to pray. Something should happen to me.
Estoy ya para empezar mis cosas, me pongo a orar.
And instead of taking the time to do the things I was going to do, I turn my attention and pray.
Y digo, ya, hago el desayuno y voy a estudiar mi lección.
I'll make breakfast and then I'll study.
Pero cuando ya voy a estudiar mi lección,
when
ya,
I go to do the study,
y hay una cosa y otra cosa y otra cosa.
This comes at me, that comes at me, and something else comes at me.
Y cuando miro el reloj,
and when I look at the clock,
y es 4 de la tarde.
4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Y digo, ya, antes de dormir voy a hacerlo.
So I say, well, before I go to sleep tonight, I'll do that.
Y cuando voy allá a descansar,
when I go to rest and find the time,
llego a la cama y me olvido de que lo que prometí.
Find my way to the bedroom and to the bed and sleep begins to call. And I forgot what I promised I would do.
Y así a veces paso días y días.
Sometimes this happens to us day after day.
Yo no sé cómo es tu vida.
I'm not sure exactly how it is in your life.
Yo no sé qué es lo que haces.
I don't know exactly what you do.
Yo no sé qué es lo primero, cuál es tu prioridad, no lo sé.
I don't know what it is that you have as your priorities.
Solamente tú sabes.
Only you know.
Solamente tú sabes si estás cerca o estás lejos de Dios.
Only you know if you are close or far from God.
Elena G. de White nos dice,
in the spirit of prophecy, we are told
que en los últimos tiempos,
that in the last days,
personas que están en la iglesia,
people who are in the church of God,
tendrán muchas dudas del Salvador,
will develop many doubts about the Savior.
¿Por qué?
Why?
Porque cuando estamos en la iglesia,
because when we are in the church,
empiezan otros pensamientos en nuestra mente.
Sometimes the enemy plants other thoughts in our minds.
Y decimos,
and we say,
¿por qué está pasando tanto terremotos, guerras en otro lado?
We get distracted by the things that are happening and we see and we say, why are there so many tragedies taking place? Why are there so many earthquakes? Why is there so much war?
Dios.
Where's God in all of this?
Y empezamos a cuestionar. ¿Dónde está Dios?
We begin to question what God is doing and where God is.
Pasan violaciones, pasan muertes que ni siquiera tienen razón de ser.
We recognize that innocents die. We see things taking place, abuse that should never take place, and there was no reason for it to take place.
Y preguntamos, los mismos cristianos nos preguntamos, ¿dónde está Dios?
And even we ourselves who are Christians and understand the word of God, we come to the place where we say, where's God in all of this?
Y empezamos a dudar.
And somehow the seeds of doubt begin to grow in our hearts.
Y eso es lo que Elena G. de White dice, cuidado.
And to this we are counseled to beware. Or counseled to be careful.
Porque en este tiempo,
because in these times,
en estos últimos tiempos,
in these last days,
vendrán esas dudas a los cristianos.
Christians who desire to be right with God will confront the doubts that Satan plants.
Para que empiecen a alejarse de Dios.
For the purpose he has of drawing us away from Jesus.
Cuando estén esos pensamientos en nuestra mente,
if these types of thoughts should come into our minds,
ora.
It's time to pray.
No te desanimes.
Don't get discouraged.
No pongas excusas.
Don't make excuses.
Porque en ese momento que tú pones excusas,
in this moment, in that moment that you begin to give heed to excuse,
en ese momento que tú dudas,
in that moment that you begin to doubt,
ya fuiste lejos de la presencia de Dios.
And when we give in to that doubt and embrace that doubt, we have opened the door and allowed ourselves to be drawn away from the presence of God.
Y hay muchos, yo conozco muchos cristianos,
I know many Christians
que han estado en la iglesia,
that have spent years following God in the church.
Pero solamente con dudar,
but there arose a doubt in their life.
No más vinieron,
and they left
a la iglesia.
They left the church.
Cuidado.
We need to be careful.
La Biblia nos dice,
the Bible tells us,
nos da un consejo grande,
a big counsel, a major admonition,
para que nosotros estemos firmes con nuestras creencias.
That we would be firm and solid in our belief.
Está en Mateo 24:42.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, the Bible says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
¿Tú sabes cuándo va a venir Jesús?
Do you know when Jesus is coming?
¿Sabes?
Do we know?
¿Estamos cerca o estamos lejos?
Do we feel that we're close or are we far?
¿Ah?
Cerca.
Cerca.
We're close.
Pero ahora yo te hago una pregunta.
But I want to ask another question.
Si está cerca la venida de nuestro Señor Jesús,
if we are close to the coming of the Lord,
¿cómo está tu vida?
How is your life?
¿Está cerca?
Are you close?
¿O está lejos?
Or are you far?
¿Estás en la iglesia verdadera?
You're in the true church.
¿O tu mente está en el mundo?
But is your mind somewhere else?
Es el momento de tomar una decisión.
Today is the time. This is the moment to make a firm decision.
Es el momento de decir, mira.
It's a time to say,
quiero aceptarte a ti como mi Salvador.
Lord, I want to accept you as my true Savior.
Saca ideas de mi cabeza.
Take these other thoughts out of my mind.
Si hasta ahora no te he seguido como debe ser,
if up to this point I haven't followed you the way that I should have,
ayúdame a seguirte.
Help me to follow you the way that you want me to.
Ayúdame a buscarte en primer lugar.
Help me to look for you first thing in the first place of my life.
Que tú seas mi prioridad.
Help me to make you my first priority.
Que tú seas quien viva en mi vida.
That you would be the one who lives within me.
Y siempre recuerda.
And always remember.
Que muchos son llamados.
That many are called.
Pero pocos son los escogidos.
But few, because of their own choice, will be chosen.
Recuerda eso.
Remember.
Estamos en las puertas de la venida de nuestro Señor.
We are at the very doors of the coming of Jesus. The finish line, so to speak, of the race.
Falta un poquito nomás.
There's just a little bit more ahead of us.
Es el momento.
Now is the moment.
Que tú decidas.
To decide.
¿Estoy en la iglesia?
I'm in the church.
¿O estoy en el mundo?
Or am I in the world?
Pero Dios no quiere.
But God doesn't want us.
Personas que están un pie en la iglesia.
To have one foot in the church.
Y otro pie afuera.
And other foot in the world.
Él no quiere esa clase de personas.
God says that's not the type of people I want in my family.
Él no quiere.
God doesn't want us to live like that.
Es el momento que tú decidas y digas, yo te sigo a ti o sigo al mundo. No hay más.
It's a time to make a choice. I will follow God, or I won't. But there's no middle ground.
¿Cuántos de ustedes quieren decidir por Dios en esta mañana?
Today, how many of you want to decide for Jesus?
¿Cuántos?
How many?
¿Ninguno aquí en nuestra iglesia?
Is there anyone among us this morning? Necesito dar opción de responder. How many of us this morning want to make a choice to follow God this morning in this church.
¿Deseas seguir a Jesús? Ponte de pie.
If it is your desire to follow Jesus, and I invite you to stand this morning.
Y abre tu Biblia.
And as you're standing, don't leave your Bible behind. Open it as you stand.
En Romanos 13.
To the book of Romans.
Chapter
13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Wait till we're all there. The scripture says, Romans 13, 11, and that.
Vamos a leer todos en voz fuerte.
Estamos en diferentes versiones de la Biblia.
Yeah.
It says, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Dios en esta mañana,
God today,
está tocando tu corazón,
is knocking at the doors of our hearts.
Y es el momento que abramos nuestro corazón hacia él.
And it's an opportunity for us in this moment to open those hearts, the door of those hearts, to Jesus Christ.
Porque él no va a entrar si tú no lo abres.
He can't come in if we don't open the door.
Y él va a decir esto. Estoy a la puerta y llamo.
Jesus says, I am standing at the door and knock.
Alguno oye mi voz y abre la puerta.
If any man hears my voice and opens the door.
Entraré a él.
I will come into him.
Cenaré con él.
Will sup with him.
Y él conmigo.
And he with me.
En Mateo 25-26, para terminar.
In conclusion, ¿deseas que miramos?
Yeah.
In conclusion, there are words of Jesus that can be said to us one day. Words of commendation if we should choose to accept Jesus Christ.
Si pueden, que abran su Biblia.
If you have a Bible and you'd like to see this text, Elizabeth would like you to take your Bible to it to see the words that could be said about you.
Porque hay una parte que vas a reemplazar una palabra por tu nombre.
Because there's something where we'd like to input our own name. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23.
En la parte donde dice sirviente.
Right after the word servant in the first sentence.
Tú cambia, en vez de sirviente, pon tu nombre.
Instead of that word servant, invite you today to say your own name as we read this verse together.
Okay. Vamos leyendo.
Let us read. It says in Matthew 25:23, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful.
What is your name? Put your name.
Let's read it together. Let's read this statement from Jesus together out loud, okay? And put our name there in that servant place. He said, Well done, good and faithful Jason.
Elizabeth.
Your name. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
¿Te gustaría que así Jesús te dé la bienvenida?
We'd like Jesus to say those words to us. Would you?
¿Te gustaría?
Yes.
Vamos a orar.
Let us pray.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos.
Our Father in heaven.
Te damos gracias, Señor, por esta mañana.
We thank you this morning for this day.
Nos sentimos, Señor, tan pecadores.
Father, we feel and recognize our sinful condition.
Estamos en tu iglesia.
We're in and a part of your church.
Pero no sabemos si estamos cerca tuyo.
We want to be sure that we are close to you.
Señor, ayúdanos a ser fieles.
Help us to be faithful.
Y Señor, estar preparados cuando tú vengas.
And to be prepared for the day when you will come.
Señor, cuando tú vengas, nos des la bienvenida.
when you come, may you give us this welcome that we have just read.
Y nos digas, buen, buen siervo fiel.
And may you say to us, well done, good and faithful servant.
Entra en mi reino.
Enter into my kingdom.
Señor, gracias por este sábado que nos has dado.
Thank you for this Sabbath that you have given to us.
Gracias, Señor, por la oportunidad que hemos tenido de reunirnos.
Thank you for the opportunity that you've provided us to come and to unite together.
Gracias, Señor, porque hemos abrido tu palabra.
Thank you for your word that we have opened.
Señor.
Lord.
En esta mañana.
Today.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a comprometernos contigo.
Help us to enter into commitment with you.
A estar firmes en nuestra decisión.
To be firm in our decisions.
Que al salir de este lugar.
That as we leave this place today.
Nuestras vidas sean transformadas.
That our lives, by our commitment to you, will be changed.
Que así como hemos venido, no salgamos.
Father, may it be that as we have come, we do not leave.
Que salgamos llenos de tu Espíritu Santo.
But we leave filled with your Spirit.
Para seguir la decisión que hemos tomado.
That we might follow and follow through with the decision that we have made.
Quédate con cada uno de nosotros en esta mañana.
We pray that you would stay by us, each and every one.
Quédate con nuestras familias.
And our families, Lord.
Derrama tus bendiciones, Señor.
Send your blessings upon us.
En el nombre de Jesús.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amén.
Amen. Amen.